The sound of rain against the plant windows had come a kind of music. It was into background noise. It was meter, texture, the kind of sound that reminded Aaron and Lena that they were alive, still moving, still changing. Berlin had shifted from a temporary stay to a home, and their plant with its uneven bottoms and makeup barred walls had turned into a chart of their trip. But commodity had changed. Success came still, and also all it formerly. Their rearmost exhibition, the space between GIFs, drew further people than any ahead. Critics described their work as emotion captured mid breath, and crossroad of love and form, and a dialogue that transcends oil. It was everything they had worked for, everything they allowed they wanted. And yet, Aaron felt a strange bleakness sitting beneath the applause. After the show, the gallery director pulled Aaron away. "There's an offer," he said, excitement lighting his voice. "A occupancy in New York. 6 months. They want you, both of you, immaculately, to unite with other artists, educate, and present your story. It's a huge occasion." Aaron said, 6 months? "Yes. Breakouts, lodgment, everything covered. It's a career changer, Aaron." He jounced sluggishly, mind formally spinning. "And if we see Anne both go?" The director dithered. "Also, they'll still take you." That night, he told Lena. She heeded still, expression undecipherable, as he explained the details. When he finished, she didn't respond right down. Rather, she poured herself a glass of water and goggled out the window, where megacity lights lustered on wet pavement. "So they want you in New York," she said eventually. "They want both of us," he corrected. "But if not, they'll take me alone." She turned, eyes meeting his. "Do you want to go?" "I don't know yet," he admitted. "It's big, Lena. It could change everything." Her tone softened. "Everything's formally changed, Aaron. We erected the exhibitions of life then, together. However, it's not just your world that shifts. If you go, it's ours." "I know," he said still. "That's why I'm asking you what you suppose." She smiled noiselessly. "I suppose openings like this do and come doubly. But I also suppose some effects are worth further than occasion." Over the coming week, the decision dallied between them like static. They tried to ignore it. Oil, cuisine, talking, laughing, but every silence sounded to carry its weight. One night, as they worked side by side in the plant, Aaron looked over at Lena. She was concentrated, her encounter gliding over oil that glowed with ocean tinges deep. Endless blues that reminded him of the escarpments, of where it all began. "Flashback when you first came back?" he said vocally. She glanced at him. "Of course. I flashed back everything. You told me love was dangerous when it lived in makeup." She smiled. "I was right." "Perhaps," he said, "but it's also what saved us." Lena set down her encounter. "You're hysterical to go," she said simply. He blinked. "Hysterical?" "Yes. Not of leaving, but of what happens if I don't come with you." He didn't answer, and she jounced sluggishly. "That's what love does, Aaron. It teaches you that courage isn't just about chasing dreams. Occasionally, it's about letting them unfold else than you planned." A many days latterly, Lena handed him an envelope. Inside was an airplane ticket. "Lena," she held up a hand, "before you say anything here, you need to go. This is Emmy pushing you down. It's me standing beside you. Indeed, if it's from a different mainland." He shook his head. "I don't want to do this without you." "You would empty without me," she said, stepping near. "You'll carry me with you, like I carried you in Paris." "Flashback?" He felt a lump in his throat. "You're sure?" "I'm sure of you," she said. "That's enough." The flight was long, and the first days in New York felt surreal. Towers stretched like glass halls into shadows. Unheroic hacks weaved through endless business, and the air buzzed with a palpitation that no way stopped. Aaron threw himself into work, meeting artists, tutoring classes, painting in a plant that looked out over the Hudson River. But every evening, when the noise settled, he set up himself drawn to the window, searching the horizon for a color that reminded him of her eyes. They talked every night, despite the time difference. Her voice came through faint but steady, like a thread pulling him back to reinforcement. "What's it like?" she asked one night. "Loud," he said, smiling. "Alive. Everyone's shadowing commodity. It's strange. It makes me miss the stillness." "The escarpments?" she teased. "You," he said simply. There was a pause, the kind that said everything. "You'll bring the stillness back with you," she rumored. "That's your gift." 3 months passed. Aaron's work took on a new dimension. Bold, kinetic, alive with the megacity's energy. He set up himself painting the discrepancy between chaos and calm, between noise and silence. His classes filled up. Critics praised his work as evolving beyond boundaries. But commodity was missing. One evening, he entered a package from Berlin, a small oil wrapped in brown paper. He opened it precisely, and there she was. Not her face, but her presence an ocean of blue, gentle and vast, stretching toward a fading horizon. Attached was a note. "You formerly said the ocean was endless, but perhaps it's not. Perhaps it ends where the sky begins, and that's where I'll meet you." He sat there for a long time, holding the oil in silence, feeling commodity inside him settle. By the time his occupancy ended, Aaron had made a name for himself. Interviews, gallery features, openings to stay longer. But he didn't vacillate. The moment his contract ended, he packed his skirmishes, oils, and sketches and reserved a flight home. The aeroplane landed in Berlin just after dawn. The megacity was quiet, wrapped in soft fog. He took a hack straight from the field to their plant. The door was uncorked. The air smelled noiselessly of makeup and coffee. And there she was, standing by the window, encounter in her hand, the morning light tracing her face in gold. For a moment, he just watched her. When she turned, she smiled. "You're home." "I was no way really gone," he said, stepping near. She reached out, fingertips brushing his. "So, how was New York?" He laughed vocally. "Loud. Bright. Full of ghosts that reminded me of you." "Good," she said. "Also, it did its job." He looked around the plant, at their oils, their sketches, the familiar chaos of color. "You kept oil." "I no way stopped," she said. "I told you, didn't I? We do in pause. We just evolve." He jounced, emotion rising in his casket. "I suppose I understand now." "Understand what?" "That love isn't the contrary of distance," he said. "It's what fills the space between it." She smiled, eyes glistening. "Took you long enough." They stood there in the quiet, the megacity waking sluggishly beyond the window, the rain beginning again. And in that small plant in Berlin, they knew, whatever came next, wherever life took them, they'd always find each other in the space between gifs. The meter of life settled again, but it was ain't quite the same. New York had changed Aaron. Berlin had changed Lena. And now, their participated world, the
chaos of color. "You kept oil." "I no way stopped," she said. "I told you, didn't I? We do and pause. We just evolve." He jounced, emotion rising in his casket. "I suppose I understand now." "Understand what?" "That love is ent the contrary of distance," he said. "It's what fills the space between it." She smiled, eyes glistering. "Took you long enough." They stood there in the quiet, the megacity waking sluggishly beyond the window, the rain beginning again. And in that small plant in Berlin, they knew, whatever came next, wherever life took them, they'd always find each other in the space between gifs. The meter of life settled again, but it was ent quite the same. New York had changed Aaron. Berlin had changed Lena. And now, their participated world, the small plant, the familiar routines, the easy inflow of discussion, felt slightly off balance, as if the graveness between them had shifted just enough to be noticed. It was ent distance, not exactly. It was commodity quieter. At first, the change showed up in their art. Aaron's oils had grown bolder, thick, layered brushstrokes, deep contrasts, a kind of restless stir that filled the oil. Lena's, on the other hand, had softened, her lines more fluid, her tones muted, her work brooding rather of crying. One night, while hanging new pieces for a forthcoming exhibition, they stood side by side, gaping at the difference. "It's strange," Lena said vocally. We used to blend impeccably. Perhaps we still do, Aaron said. Just else. Or perhaps, she muttered, we've drifted a little. He turned to look at her, uncertain whether to laugh or pull her close. Rather, he said, we've both changed, Lena. That's not drifting. That's growing. But he could see commodity in her eyes, commodity he could ent relatively name. Weeks passed. Their exhibition opened to sun again, but this time, the critics noticed what they had ent said audibly. Lena's work speaks of calm and reflection. One review read, errands of chaos and hunt. Together, they produce pressure, the beauty of contraries colliding. When Lena read that, she laughed still. They noticed. Aaron smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. It's not a bad thing. No, she said, but it's real. One evening, as the rain came down hard outdoors, Aaron set up her sitting on the bottom of their plant, girdled by sketches. See and sleep? He asked, leaning against the doorway. See and stop allowing, she said. About how we started. About how simple it felt back, also. He walked closer. We were different people. She jounced sluggishly. Perhaps too different now. He lowered. What are you saying? She took a long breath. I'm saying I love what we've erected. But occasionally, I feel like we're painting coming to each other rather of together. That hit harder than she meant it to. He sat down across from her, trying to find words. You suppose I've pulled down? I suppose, she said precisely, you've been chasing commodity, I see and see. And perhaps that's okay. Perhaps we do and have to always see the same thing. But it scares me when I see and feel it presently. He didn't respond right down. The rain filled the silence. Eventually, he said, I don't know how to fix that yet. But I don't want to lose what we've trying to find commodity differently. Lena jounced, eyes glistering. Also, let's not fix it tonight.
Let's just sit then.
For formerly, let's not try to paint over it. So they did. Two artists girdled by untreated sketches, hearkening to the meter of rain and query. The coming morning, Aaron went for a walk before dawn. Berlin was still asleep, the thoroughfares slick with leftover rain. He ended up at the swash, watching the Argentine water ripple beneath the ground. He allowed about New York, how alive he'd felt there, how alarmed too. He allowed about Lena, her tolerance, her quiet strength, her eyes like an anchor. Perhaps that was the problem, he realized. He was still trying to live between movement and stillness, between chasing and staying. And Lena, she had formally set up peace in where she was. When he returned, she was awake, making coffee. I didn't hear you leave, she said. I demanded air. She handed him a mug. Did you find it? He smiled noiselessly. Perhaps. They sat in silence for a while, belting coffee. Also, she said, Aaron, do you ever wonder if love changes shape when we're not looking? He lifted his head. What do you mean? Like perhaps love starts as fire. Also, it becomes air. Harder to hold, but still there. You see and see it, but it moves everything. He allowed for a moment. And where are we now? She looked at him, eyes soft but steady. Perhaps we're in the air part. The weeks that followed were quieter. They still painted together, still participated late, night feasts, still walked through the megacity when the world was asleep, but commodity had shifted in the meter. They were ent trying to fix it presently. They were just learning how to live inside it. One night, Lena began painting a new series, not of people or geographies, but of fractions, pieces of color, texture, and light that did ent make sense alone but did together. When Aaron asked her what it was, she said, moments. The kind that get lost when you're too busy living through them. He jounced. Also, perhaps that's what we've been missing, noticing the moments between. They began spending further time outside the plant. They took short passages to the country, to quiet municipalities where no bone knew them. Lena carried a sketchbook. Aaron brought his camera. They didn't plan, didn't rush. Occasionally, they didn't indeed talk important. It was ent a grand result, but it was a memorial love didn't have to always be about creation or meaning. Occasionally, it was about stillness, about sitting together in silence and knowing that was enough. One autumn, while sitting on a hill overlooking a swash, Lena said vocally, "Do you ever suppose we've formerly painted our stylish work?" He shook his head.
"No."
"Because the stylish work isn't about what's perfect. It's about what's honest." She smiled, leaning her head on his shoulder. "Also, we're still painting." They watched the sun dip behind the horizon, the sky blurring into tones of gold and blue, her colors, his colors, and the world between. Back in Berlin, they decided to do commodity new, separate exhibitions. Not a bifurcation. Not indeed a pause. Just space to explore themselves again. To breathe else for a while. They worked in the same plant, but on contrary walls. Her oils soft, introspective, quiet. His bold and searching. When the exhibitions opened, they attended each other's shows, proud and a little nervous. Critics noticed again, but this time, they didn't write about pressure or discrepancy. They wrote about maturity, elaboration. Two artists who had learned how to attend without losing themselves. That night, after both openings, they returned to the plant, exhausted but smiling. Lena poured two spectacles of wine and raised hers. "To us, not just together, but whole." Aaron tinkled his glass against hers. "To the space between storms." They laughed still, and for the first time in months, it felt like they were breathing in meter again. Latterly, lying on the plant bottom, girdled by oils and the faint scent of turpentine, Aaron rumored,
"Do you suppose this is whatever feels like?" Lena smiled without opening her eyes. "I suppose ever is just a collection of moments like this." He reached out, tracing her fritters with his. "Also, let's upkeep collecting." She turned her head toward him, her eyes catching the dim light. "Always." Outside, the rain began again, soft, steady, endless. The same sound that followed them from the escarpments to the megacity, from silence to love, from chaos to calm. And in that stillness, between one twinkle and the coming, they set up it again, the quiet verity that love doesn't fade when life changes. It just shifts its shape and waits to be noticed. The plant felt too quiet after the exhibitions ended. Not empty, just full of echoes. The kind that reminded you what had been there ahead. Lena was the first to notice it. She'd walk in, encounter in hand, also break half through a new oil, detracted by commodity unseen. Aaron, on the other hand, tried to fill the space, rearranging oils, drawing skirmishes, organizing effects that didn't need organizing. Neither admitted it audibly, but they both knew what the silence meant the story had broke. Not ended, but staying for its coming chapter. One evening, Lena put down her encounter midstroke and turned to him. "Do you ever suppose about going back?" He looked up. "Back?" "To the escarpments. To where it started." He goggled at her for a long moment. "Every day." She smiled noiselessly. "Also, let's stop allowing." The coming week, they were on a train heading south. Berlin faded behind them. The skyline dissolving into wide fields. Also timbers. Also the distant glint of water. The meter of the tracks felt like a twinkle, steady and certain. They didn't talk much during the trip. Words felt gratuitous. Every now and also, Lena would look out the window and catch a reflection lapping the passing geographies in there. For a transitory alternate, she'd see herself from times ago, wind in her hair, camera slung over her shoulder, eyes full of questions. Aaron sat opposite her, sketching still in his tablet. His lines were loose and robotic, further feeling than form. He was then drawing her, not exactly, but every wind, every gesture ever led back to her. When she noticed, she said, "You still do that?" "Do what?" "Turn everything into me." He smiled, only the beautiful effects. When they arrived, the air hit them like memory. The escarpments hadn't changed, the ocean still restless, the wind still smelling, the smell of swab and distance wrapping around everything. It was strange how places held feelings, how the world could feel alive with ghosts of who you used to be. They rented the same cabin by the seacoast, though it had been repainted white. Outside, the cabinet work was new, but the windows still faced the ocean. That night, they stood outdoors in silence, watching the moonlight make up the water, tableware. Lena rumored, "It feels lower than I flashback." Aaron jounced. Perhaps we just got bigger. The coming morning, they set out for the escarpments. The path was grown, wildflowers pushing through cracks in the gravestone. When they reached the edge, Lena stopped. The wind caught her hair, whipping across her face, and in that moment, she looked exactly as she had the first time he'd seen her. Aaron took a step closer. Do you ever wish you could start again? She looked out at the horizon. No, because also we lose everything in between. They stood there for a long time, side by side, not speaking, just breathing in the same air, hearkening to the same swell's crash below. For the first time in times, they didn't need to capture it. No cameras, no sketches, no words. Just the moment itself. That evening, Lena set up an old print put away inside her trip journal. The one of Aaron, makeup on his face, beaming at her like she was the only person who was. She handed it to him. You flashback this? He laughed vocally. Of course. You said I look like a child who discovered the sun. Well, she said, you still do. He leaned back in his president. I miss that interpretation of us occasionally. I do-ent, she replied, surprising him. Because he didn't know yet what love would bring. And she didn't know she'd still choose it anyway. The coming many days unfolded still. They walked. They cooked. They watched storms roll in from the ocean. There was no rush to produce or prove anything. For formally, they were ant artists or suckers under the scrutiny of the world. They were just two people learning to breathe in the same meter again. On their last night there, Lena woke in the dark and couldn't sleep. She slipped out of bed and walked to the edge of the escarpments. The ocean was black, restless, horizonless. She wrapped her arms around herself and let the wind soak her skin. She didn't hear Aaron until his arms slipped around her from before. Couldn't sleep, he muttered. Didn't want to, she rumored. Didn't want to miss this. He rested his chin on her shoulder. I've been allowing... Dangerous, she teased vocally. He chortled, also grew quiet. Perhaps it's time we move again. She turned to face him. Move. Not down from us, he said snappily. Just forward. Perhaps open a plant by the ocean. Not to escape Berlin, but to add commodity new. She studied his face, the soberness in his voice, the light in his eyes. You really suppose we can make this work? Between the escarpments and the megacity? I suppose, he said. We've learned that love doesn't need one home. It just needs to keep breathing. Lena smiled sluggishly. Also, let's figure commodity that breathes. The coming morning, they visited a small abandoned boathouse near the water. The roof was half collapsed, and the walls were stained with swab and moss. But when sun slipped through the broken boards, the entire place sounded to glow. This could be it, Lena said, running her hand along the rough wood. Aaron jounced. Our new morning. They spent the day planning, drawing layouts, arguing over makeup colors, laughing about the fact that they were doing all again. But this time, it was then about chasing success or meaning. It was about returning to simplicity, to honesty, to each other. By dusk, they stood outdoors again, watching the drift rise. Lena said vocally, you know, if someone told me times ago that I'd end up back then with you, later all the long hauls, all the noise, I do-n't suppose I would have believed them. Aaron smiled. And now? Now, she said, I suppose it's the only thing that ever made sense. He reached for her hand. Lena, I do-n't know where we'll go next. I just know I'll always find you, in the blue, in the silence, in everything. Her eyes met his. The same eyes that had formerly stopped him at breath in a crowded art gallery. The same eyes that had seen him through storms and metropolises and times of implied fear. She rumored, also you'll know we'll be lost again. He smiled noiselessly. I do-n't mind being lost if it's in you. Latterly that night, as they packed their bags, Lena set up herself gaping out the window. The moonlight washed the escarpments and tableware again, just like that first night. Endless, familiar, forgiving. And she realized commodity love was in a circle or a line or a story that ended neatly. It was a drift, coming and going, breaking and healing, changing shape but no way truly leaving. She turned to Aaron, who was folding his sketchbook into his bag.
Let's leave one thing before, she said. He looked up.
What?
She smiled. A piece of us. For whoever finds this place next. He understood without demanding further words. They took a small oil, half hers, half his, and left it on the windowsill. On it, a curve of blue met a band of gold, blending in the middle like sky meeting ocean. Under, in simple handwriting, Aaron wrote for those who flash back what it feels like to be lost and set up in someone's eyes. They left just before dawn. As the train pulled down from the seacoast, Lena rested her head on his shoulder. Do you suppose we'll come back again? He looked out the window, the horizon stretching wide and open. Perhaps not then, he said, but nearly that feels like this. She smiled. Also, that's enough. And as the escarpments faded behind them, the light of morning caught her eyes, that same insolvable blue that had started everything. Aaron closed his eyes and rumored, nearly to himself, I'm still lost in the blue of your eyes.